Wow.
Praise Jesus. That's encouraging. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And just pray you'd speak to us this morning, the depths of your word. Lord, give us some insights, what you're teaching us. And so we just thank you of your love. Just anoint me with your spirit. I'd speak things of the spirit and have each heart to receive of the spirit. So we just thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're looking off, kick things off here with Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Let me read this and I'll say a few words. Daniel 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, shall be cut off, crucified, and shall have nothing. And a people of a prince of Rome who is to come shall destroy the city Jerusalem and sanctuary in 70 AD. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed during the time of the Holy Spirit. You can see what I added in parentheses. You can disregard that. That's my commentary. We're going through the book of Daniel. And as we're coming up through the book of Daniel, the things that deal with the things of the end. Daniel had visions of the end times. And so all things were future to him. And so he had these visions and God interpreted these visions for him. And so that's what we've been looking at for the past few weeks. And by the way, next week we're going to look at signs of the times. Okay. And the week after that we're going to look at the Antichrist. Okay. And we'll try to make all that relevant. This morning what I want to touch on is that to tie some things together. There's many different views about end times, many different views. And they have entire seminaries, professors that have views on each side, and they don't agree, okay? So there's just a voluminous amount of information. You can look at that and just know as you read that people that love Jesus disagree on it, all right? And so what I want to do is I want to look at this and just kind of bring that together and gives us something to hold on to and give you my take on it. But just understand that's out there. People that love Jesus have different opinions. So when we look at this, where people do agree, they agree historically up to the time of Christ. Everybody, you know, they're kind of on the same page, you know, so they come up to the period of Christ and Daniel's prophetic messages up to the time of Jesus, and so they're pretty much on the same page. It's after Jesus that people have the disagreements, and the things we talked about before, just to give you a rehearse, 10 toes, 10 horns, little horn, Antichrist, 7 years, that's where they disagree. Okay, that's where they disagree. And we'll talk about that. And basically, putting everything in a big bucket, some people say it's already past, it's done, and then a group of people say, no, it's all future. It's all future, meaning future to us, meaning the 10 toes, the 10 horns, and the 7 years are future. It hadn't happened yet. That's where people come down on. So I personally believe in the timing of things, that what the Bible shows is that there's a gap, this vision that Daniel had of 70 weeks of years, 490 years. Okay, he had this vision. For the first 69 weeks, or 483 years, again, everybody agrees. It's that last 7 years. It's a stinker, all right? So I personally believe that there is a gap between the 69th and 70th week. Everything is systematic and goes, but when it hits that 69th week, the time of Christ, that there is a gap, and so that future 7 years, that 7 years, that last week, is still future. It's still to come. And we'll touch on that a little more. But in this verse is one of the reasons that I believe that there's a gap between those 2 weeks. Because in Daniel 9:26, it says this information, Daniel 9:26 is after the 69th week and before the 70th week. So if anybody, you take that, if you want to mark that down, that's the reason. This one verse, okay? The people in all these seminaries on this side of the aisle, that's what they believe. And they use this verse as one of the things to prove it. And pretty much shown the way I've shown it here. So between these two, and what's important, if you see if this is between, then it shows us how, what's to come. Oh, another thing they all agree on, this is good. They agree that Jesus is coming back. They all agree on that. He's coming back, okay? So everybody's good there. They just not a little discussion about when. So here you have in Daniel 9:26, a time between the 69th and 70th week. What do we have here in Daniel 9:26? We have Jesus' crucifixion. It's after the 69th week, but before the 70th. We have Jerusalem totally being destroyed. Now, this is important in historical terms because Jesus was a Jew. God worked through the Jewish people, and Christ's lineage came through the Jewish people. So it's very important. So now you have the thing where Jerusalem was devastated. Now, when we destroyed, you got to understand how they destroyed things back then. They leveled it. There was no Geneva Convention, and you know, we'll talk about, and you know, all your people had certain rights. And no, they just leveled it. They just leveled it, exported all the people, and the ones that didn't left, they killed, okay? And so they kind of got their point across. So that happened. That happened in 70 AD. Look it up, and it can tell you about it. Some accounts say that as many as 3 million people were killed in Jerusalem during that period of time. That's kind of tough. You know, they packed them in there during one of the feasts. They just slaughtered the people. Then it says also at the end of the verse that there will be war after this, continual war after this. And so this is the time where the title of the message is the time of the Holy Spirit, because it's the time after Jesus. But it says there's still going to be war, continual war against the non-believing people. And all these events are before the 70th week. Okay, so that's just a synopsis. Okay, we're up to Jesus. Everybody go, hey, we agree. But then after Jesus, don't agree. So there's a future time, future 7 years when Jesus, at the end of which Jesus is going to come back and judge the world. Now, so here we are living in the in-between time. Now, I want us to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. This should give us great encouragement. And here we have in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, we have a clear assessment from Christ about our time between the 69th and 70th week. I believe. Other people have different opinions, but I believe God gives an assessment. And so here you have these disciples. They spent 3 years with Jesus. You know, Jesus knew all about Daniel, okay? He knew everything. He's taught these guys for 3 years. And so they're coming together. This is after he's resurrected, and he's talking to the disciples. And they ask him, remember, all the disciples are what? They are nationality. Jewish. Okay, so they're thinking they're Jewish. Okay, so they're talking to their Messiah, who is Jewish. And they say this. So when they came together, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus has just resurrected. He's standing there. What's the first thing they ask him? Okay, now are you going to restore Israel? Why did they do that? They did that because they knew the Old Testament. That was an Old Testament question. They spent 3 years with him. Man, now the kings are resurrected. Are you going to restore Israel? That means, are you going to whip the Romans, kick them out of town, and we're taking over? That's what they ask. And so that what I'm saying is, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. And so here's Jesus' answer to them. Their Old Testament mindset, you're going to establish Israel as a nation. We're going to whip the Romans. And here is Jesus' statement. And it's not only a statement to them, it's his statement to us. His statement to us. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority. It's not for you to know. I'm not telling you. It's not for you to know. Verse 8, but, here's the but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Listen, don't worry about when I'm going to do my deal in Israel. It's not for you to know, but you will receive power. But you, Broadlands Community Church, will receive power. And you, Broadlands Community Church, will be my witnesses And by the way, in every other church, believing church in the world, that's what you will do. This is not for you to know. I'll take care of it, but it's not for you to know. Amen? Now, here is, but saying that, there are certain things that the Lord did tell us. There are certain things he did tell us. And like next week, we'll look at signs of the times because there are certain things he did tell us. But my attempt to kind of, I'm going to pull some of this together, is that, and please, as I attempt to explain this, give me some grace, okay? Because I'm going to use a metaphor and analogy, I guess, and I don't want to be accused of being sacrilegious and, you know, somebody get mad and throw their Bible down or iPad down. Please don't throw your iPad down and leave, you know, when I say this. But so I'm using an analogy, and so it's just lack of the ability to use the English language that I'm using this, but I'm just making a point, not being sacrilegious, okay? Well, when we're looking at this, the question comes up, and by the way, over Christianity, this is a big question, and it's about Israel today. Israel today. Because people, the masses of Christianity, look at the nation of Israel today, and they see it as a fulfillment of this last 7 years, or a movement into this last 7 years. They connect this Israel today, okay, very closely. And so they see that, and so it's like, okay, you know, it's any day. And Jesus said, and Paul said, it is any day, anytime. Okay, so the question comes in about Israel today, about the Jewish people today. Question. I get things in email. I have subscribed to this one magazine, and in it all the time is what's happening in Israel. Pray for Israel. Send money to Israel. We got to protect Israel. And so there's that whole mindset there. Now, so what about physical Israel? What about physical Jerusalem? And what about building the temple? Now, because when you look at the Old Testament, you see those pictures. And that's exactly what the disciples said. Okay, Jesus, we're ready. All we needed was you. We're ready. And he goes, no, you don't understand. You're going to receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses. You know, and they didn't know destroying of Jerusalem in 70 AD was future for them. You know, they probably thought, oh man, crud, that ain't work. You know, because that was future to them. Now, look past. So what about Israel today? What about the last 7 years? Now, here's where I want to be careful. I do believe that it is future. Now, if people believe it's past, those prophecies are past, okay, it doesn't make any difference because it's past. So it's not something to concern oneself about. But if it's future, then you have to process through and say, what does it mean? What does this physical Israel mean? Now, I pay attention. I'm not consumed by the physical Israel, you know, and, you know, the prime minister of Israel spoke to a joint session of Congress just recently, and he said, listen, we got people out there, and their one goal in life and their doctrine is to destroy us. And he goes, don't give them a bomb. Just don't do that, because their one goal is to destroy us. So there's a fear like, hey, these people don't like us, you know, which has been historically true forever. You know, it's just like the Jewish people have managed to just irritate people their entire cultural life. Okay, so there's the looking at that and say, what does this mean? What does this mean about Israel? Well, me personally, when I look at it, it's like, it's interesting. Okay, my faith is not riding on it, but I am not ignoring it. I'm not ignoring it. I'm just kind of interested. I'm paying attention. I'm not going to deny it's there. But if Iran did succeed and wipe them off face the earth, I go, gosh, bummer. That's tough. But it wouldn't affect my faith. All right? You see what I'm saying? But I do pay attention, because maybe the Lord is going to use it in a certain way, and we're going to see a great movement of God because it is present. Because it is present. And it's in the same location, and it's the same Jewish people. Now, here's the point I want to make. And this is where I want grace for all those who believe that it's Israel right now and it's happening. If it is Israel right now and God, it really doesn't have enough. Hold on. It really doesn't have any relevance for us. There's no relevance for us. What happened with Israel? There's not. Okay? Because, and here's why, is because the fulfillment of everything God said in the Old Testament is to us, the church. We are the fulfillment. It's not something else out there. It's not an Israel that comes and the Israel is the fulfillment. That, it's not in the scripture. It's just not, okay? The church is the fulfillment. We are the fulfillment, okay? And so, well, what about Israel? Because they are things that show that in the future. And what about this 7 years that we're not sure of? And here's just what came to mind. And I'm sure there was no divinity in this whatsoever. But it's like God said, if God would have said, listen, before I come back and destroy the world, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build this magnificent, gigantic roller coaster. I'm going to build a roller coaster before I destroy the world. And so, okay, God, whatever. So we're doing our thing. And so sure enough, and let's say he's going to build it. Pick a country. Let's just state. He's going to build it in Maine. Okay? He's going to be this massive roller coaster in Maine. And you say, okay, so we're doing our thing. We're sharing Jesus. And sure enough, they got this massive roller coaster being built in Maine. You go, uh-oh. I don't know what this means, but what something's happening, because God said he's building this roller coaster in Maine, and now they're building this biggest roller coaster in the world, and they're building it in Maine. How does that affect me as a believer? How does that affect me as a believer? Do I give money to the roller coaster? Do I go visit the roller coaster? Do I pray to the roller coaster? You know? Do I write books about the roller coaster? You know? No, it's like, oh, crud. They're building the roller coaster. Jesus is coming back, you know? Okay, that all that means, it's not impacting my Christian faith. It doesn't give me any direction in my Christian faith any more than it did the disciples when Jesus talked to them. He goes, it's not for you to know. You're going to receive power. You're going to receive. Now you be my witnesses. So at the most, if God is building this giant roller coaster in Maine, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. He's building this roller coaster. He's coming back. You know what that tells me? It says, I better have an urgency and a passion about telling people about Jesus. Because all that roller coaster means is Jesus is coming back. And so I want to tell people about Jesus. Because, and say, all the people that see that roller coaster being built, and all people love roller coasters, go to that roller coaster and they hang out with the roller coaster. When Jesus comes back, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to be burned up with everybody else. See, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, no, it's the only way you get past this, the only way that there's any salvation is through Jesus. It's not the roller coaster, and it's not the people who believe in the roller coaster. Okay? Now take that, again, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but now apply it to Israel. If God is going to come back to Israel, and the Jews are going back to Israel, and he destroys Israel, then it has nothing to do with my faith, all right? He's going to do what he's going to do. But if that is a key to it, all it does encourages me. What those Jewish people need is Jesus. They're going back to Israel, not going to help them a smidgen, okay? And not going to help them until they come to know Christ. That's the only salvation, and that's the total communication of Scripture. Okay, now, back to it. For the people of Israel, like any human being, I want them to come to know Christ. I don't want harm to come to them. I would pray for them and witness to them like I would anyone else. But I don't look at them like, oh, they're the apple of God's eye. You know why? Because we are the apple of God's eye. It's us. We're the apple of God's eye, you know? And so to understand that, okay, if that's happening, if that is a piece of a time clock, okay, oh, that piece of that time clock's happening. I'm going to pay attention, but I'm not going to worship the time clock. I'm not going to give money to the time clock. I'm not going to do it, because that's just something that God is going to do, period. What he told us to do is share the gospel. That's why I said, anybody got any questions? But anyway, that's what, but you see what I'm saying? So I'm making a point. All right, I'm not disregarding what Israel is. I'm not disregarding the Jewish people. So I'm paying attention, but my faith is not on it. It says, what are you going to do? Do you think the end's coming? If it is coming, we need to share Jesus pronto. We need to tell Jesus about Jesus quick. Because God's going to come and judge people who don't know Jesus. That's what he's going to do. See, if the clock's ticking, tick, 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 he's going to come back when it hits 12. He's going to judge the people that don't know Jesus, not people who weren't watching the clock. Amen? Can you amen? How many say, you're nuts? You got, okay. Oh, just a few. That wasn't bad. Okay. All right. Well, what I want to look at this morning, so keeping that in mind, I want to keep that in mind. It's like, all right. So, and Jesus did. I mean, Jesus talking to the Jews. He's a Jew talking to the Jews. He goes, don't worry about this. Go tell the world. Why would he change that message? He had changed it. He said, go tell, don't worry about that. Go tell the world. Okay, so the disciples are going there. Okay, he's not going to reestablish the kingdom. He's not going to reestablish this physical people. He's not going to establish this country. I mean, how's he going to pull this thing off? Now, what you do is you take the Bible literally. When it says something and you read it, it's literal. It's literal, you know. But when you read things, the Bible will tell you, say, this has a spiritual meaning. And when the Bible tells you it has a spiritual meaning, then you grab that spiritual meaning, and then you have this greater capacity to see into the heavens. But the Bible will direct you. You just don't make it up, okay? And so what we're going to look at, who are we now today? We are the apple of God's eye. We are the ones that God has called out. We are the one that God's used. And I want to show you in the scripture how he tells us that. And he reveals it. He reveals it. And the apostles knew. So how does he create this new people, this Israel of God? Acts 2, chapter 1 through 4. He did something different. He did something big time different. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, now that's Jewish. It's Jewish. This is their last shot at being Jewish, right here. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's like, okay, we're new now. Okay, we changed the game plan right now. Everybody got the Spirit. Everybody filled with it and spoke in different tongues. And what we have here, we see that all of Scripture being fulfilled, all of Scripture being fulfilled right here. And in fact, you know what Peter said? And they go, Peter, what is going on? What did Peter go? Well, let me tell you what I figured out on this. You know, we can have a little discussion. Peter goes, let me tell you. And he quotes the Old Testament. He quotes Joel. He said, this is what Joel said would happen. This is what Joel said. It, by golly, it happened. It happened. The Holy Spirit poured out on everybody. Men, women, girls, boys. It even says, the women. You know, disciples go, you kidding me? The women. Yeah, they didn't say that. But it says the women. Okay, so you have this. And this is a transition right here at this point. Pentecost. Everything changed. Everything changed. And now we have the time of the Holy Spirit and where God is moving. Now, here, let's move forward. So I'm going to kind of summarize this at the end. But to understand how God looks at us as he's moving along. And Paul and the Jews, they're unfolding this message to the Jews. They're explaining it to them because they didn't like the idea of non-Jewish people joining their group. Okay, so Paul and the apostles start explaining this to them. Look here in Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 through 14. And so he's explaining this. He says, listen, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, see, it goes back to the scriptures. As it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree, the cross. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. And they're going, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding. You know who the Gentiles are? The Jews had a good way of identifying people. The Gentiles were people that weren't them. Okay, that was it. You ain't us. You're a Gentile. Okay, they're non-Jewish people. And he says, no, it says that Jesus came and he became a curse for us, so that in Jesus the blessing of Abraham. Now, why was the blessing of Abraham? Remember, it's Jewish people he's talking to. God tells Abraham, who was the father of all the Jews, if you will, he was the first Jew. Okay, Abraham's the first Jew. And he said, Abraham, all of God's people are going to come through you, through your seed. I'm going to establish a nation, Abraham. Through you, your seed, we're going to establish a nation. And it says the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So the blessing that God said was come to Abraham, the Jewish people, is going to come to the Gentiles. Why? So that we might receive the Holy Spirit is promised through faith. So that we might receive, why is it coming through to the Gentiles? So that we might receive the Holy Spirit. He changed everything through faith. Now the Gentiles, the Jews, are looking alike because they all received the Holy Spirit. What made the difference, the Jew or the Gentile? It's the Holy Spirit. See, it's a time of the Holy Spirit. I'm changing the game plan. We're moving from this little sliver of country on the Mediterranean to the world. And I'm going to gather up an army and I'm going to make them powerful because I'm going to give them the Holy Spirit. And everyone who receives the Holy Spirit is going to be the seed of Abraham. They're my Jews. They're my Jews. Now, this is the time of the Holy Spirit. And God spoke of Abraham's seed is receiving the promises of God. Okay, and the seed is one person. Now, put the next slide up there. Please, Tom. It says, look, the promises, Galatians 3:16, the promises were spoken to Abraham. See how consistent? That's what I love. This is what a teacher loves about this stuff. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. You know, one little seed. Okay, seed. And it says, but the scripture does not say to seeds, like many seeds. He said, no, it's to Abraham, it's to your seed, many seed. Not meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, Christ. So God says, let me give you further insight. I said, Abraham, you're going to have a great nation through your seed. Anyways, oh man, I got all these Jews and I got this country through my seed. He goes, no. What you have through your seed is Jesus. See? And Jesus, his physical lineage came through Abraham. It came through David. And it came up into the New Testament. And you look at Matthew and they go, Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David. He's the seed. He's the seed. Meaning that he is the person through which God is going to touch the entire world. He goes, see, it's bigger than the Jews. It's bigger than Israel. It's the world. And it's through the seed. You thought the seed meant the Jews. It's not. The seed was a person, Christ. See, the fulfillment of the Old Testament is in the person of Jesus. That makes sense? That's a great verse. It's a great verse right there. The fulfillment of the Old Testament promises to the Jews and to Israel is through Jesus. Not this 7 years when God destroys the world. It's here. This is the fulfillment. So it's through the seed. Now, if you put up the next slide, please. Now, look here. Christ is the fulfillment of all God's promises. Ephesians 3:6. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul's trying to get people on board. It says this. Here is the mystery. Y'all didn't get this. This is a mystery. This is a mystery novel. You're reading it and you're not getting the, I'm going to reveal this to you because this is a mystery. The mystery is that the Gentiles... Who are the Gentiles? Those that aren't Jews. that made it easy. It's like, you're in my house, you're not in my house. The mystery is that the Gentiles, all the not Jews, are fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with whom?
the Jews. Made this one big family. Said, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, and partakers of this promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And the promise was to Abraham and his seed was whom? Jesus Christ. And the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews because it's through the seed of Jesus Christ. The Jews have to believe on Jesus. The Gentiles have to believe on Jesus. And now we become one people believing in Jesus. We are the fulfillment. There is no future fulfillment in some bunch of Jews. We are it. There's no fulfillment in some piece of land. There is no. We are the fulfillment. We are the total fulfillment in this area. And show the next slide. Now, I want to give you a little encouragement. I was hesitant to do this, but I think it's good if there's a little principle, like interpreting Scripture, because you read through Scripture. And by the way, Scripture is literally true, but there's a spiritual application, and the physical picture gives a greater spiritual picture. The physical picture gives a greater spiritual picture. This is good to know as you're reading through it. So if you have this principle, you can do this yourself. And say, what is God telling me? And you make applications, okay? Because if we are the Jewish people, then we can take the promises and to apply them to us in the Old Testament, okay? If we understand the spiritual application, all right? And if we take it physical, we're going to go out there and try to buy, 4 acres in Israel. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, we'll get the physical. I said, no, I'm giving you the spiritual view of this, and I'm telling you it's spiritual. Now, look at this, and here is an example. This is a nugget to hold on to look at other scripture, okay? In Hosea 11:1, it says this. God says this, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. That was when Israel was in Egypt, okay? They're in Egypt. They're captives in Egypt. And God sends Moses to Egypt and he brings the people out of Egypt. You got the parting of the Red Sea and all that stuff, you know? That's what this is talking about. But look how he says it. When Israel was a child, God's like, when my people, when they were just so young as a child, I loved him. He personalized it. He loved Israel, so he personalized the country as a person, singular. Said, when he was a child, I loved him. And relating to Israel, they called the leader, Jacob, Israel. They changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Well, I love Jacob, but I love the whole people. And out of Egypt, I called my son. There's 3 million people came out in Egypt, okay? But he personally says, out of Egypt, I called my son. These are my relationship. These are my called out people. Amen? This is my relationship. This is my called out people. Hallelujah. Literally true. We believe that. But wait a minute. It's a physical picture of a greater spiritual truth. Abraham, your seed will become a great nation. Abraham's seed became right here 3 million people. But wait a minute. The spiritual picture is Abraham's seed is who? Jesus. Okay, so now we have this. And this is, to me, is absolutely fascinating. And you can look at this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 14. We have Jesus being born. And so Herod comes and he goes, okay, I know there's a little boy out there and he's going to be king. Go kill all the babies. Kill all the babies. See, those people they didn't have a good moral value. There's a few babies out there. I don't know which one. There's a kill them all. Kill all the babies. So he's going to kill the babies. And so did God. God comes and says, the angel sends the angel to Joseph. Said, Joseph, listen, you better leave town. Because Herod's sending an army. He's going to kill all the babies. So you take Mary and the baby and you go to Egypt. So Herod won't kill him. Go to Egypt. I'm saving you because he's going to kill all the babies. You go to Egypt. So Herod, there goes Joseph, Mary, and little Jesus, little baby Jesus, to Egypt. I mean, that's messing up the whole prophetic plan, isn't it? Jesus is going to Egypt. Then, but he says this. Look what he adds to it. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Hosea in Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Jesus went down to Egypt, and then he came back, when Herod died. So Jesus came back and said, see, I fulfilled my prophecy out of Egypt, I called my son, because the seed is Jesus. And when the picture of Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I called my son, was 3 million people coming, he says, but the fulfillment is in Jesus. Here is a nugget you have to walk away with. Here's a nugget you want to understand the Old Testament, okay? It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. The fulfillment is in Jesus and those who believe on him. Those who believe on him. And it says, Israel's the apple of my eye. Who's the apple of his eye? We are. We are. That's how he looks at us. The Bible spends all its time trying to tell us how much he loves us and how special we are. And we're going, no, that's not me. I can't do it. Mm-mm. No, not me. You wouldn't believe what's going on. God says, yeah, I believe what's going on with you. I believe what's going to go in the future with you. I mean, I know all about you. But you're the apple of my eye. You're the apple of my eye. Now, so here you have, and this is so important, as you look at this, you have the reality of God's called out people. When you read about Israel, you should just substitute this. God's called out people. God's called out. That's what God, all the way God did. He had a called out people. The world is absolute in chaos, and God reached out and he called Abraham. And he says, from Abraham, I'm going to have a called out people. This is going to be different from the world. And his seed, Jesus Christ, and those who believe in him are going to be a called out people. And they're going to be my witness to the world. My witness to the world and how I touch the world is through the church. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, he didn't just leave. He said, no, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the power of Jesus. Do you understand? And we go, no, I don't, God. I really don't understand. There got to be a plan B. This plan A sucks. What are you doing? It doesn't make sense. Now, but look here. It's all through. Look at Galatians 6, 15 through 16. I mean, it's all through the scripture. Galatians 6, 15 through 16. It says this. Now, again, with the Jews, I mean, if you want to be with a Jew, and back then, big thing, circumcision. Okay, you had to circumcise. You know how you Jew? Circumcise. And so as soon as you became a believer in Christ, you got to circumcise them, they can't believe in Christ. They go, oh, wait a minute. That's not, you're missing the boat again, all right? So here's Paul explaining this to them again. Okay, Galatians 6, 15 through 6, 16. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but it's a new creation for God's sakes. No, he didn't add that. I added that. He goes, it's a new creation. It's not, you know, they're circumcised, the kids or nothing, or especially these adults. It's a new creation. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and as for all who walk in this rule, peace, mercy, grace upon them, upon the Israel of God. You're the Israel of God, the new creation. This is the Israel of God. What do I have to do to tell you? You're the Israel of God. Well, I'm waiting until the Jews come back to the land, and then God's going to show himself strong. No! They may come back, and they may have a land, and he may come back and judge. But it's you. It is you. We are the Israel of God. You are the one that's going to make a difference in this world. It is you. Now look, Romans 2:28. I love this one. Romans 2:28. Paul goes, let me try again. Let me try again. And by the way, the Jews were following Paul around. Paul was a Jew, okay. And he's preaching this message. And so the Jews would follow him around. He said, no. It's us. Paul's messing up. And, you know, you need to listen to us Jews. And Paul's going, listen, these guys, don't listen to these guys. Don't listen to these guys. Romans 2:28. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not the letter. For God's sakes, don't get circumcised. Oh, I added the last part. He was saying, but what he said, it's of the heart, the circumcision of the heart. You're the Jews. You're the Jews. You're God's people. You're how I'm going to impact the world. How I'm going to impact the world. And by the way, I'll add this one. And I'm I don't know how God is going to use Israel, and I don't know how he's going to use the unbelieving Jewish people, non-Christian. But listen, God, they had an elaborate sacrificial system in that temple, and that sacrificial system pointed to Jesus. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus was the sacrifice. He ended the sacrificial system. God is not going to reestablish the sacrificial system. He's not going to do it. Jesus completed it. Look here in Hebrews 9:26, and there's so many. It says, but as it is, Jesus has appeared once and for all, at the end of the ages to put away by the sacrifice of himself. I'm done. Quit killing the lambs. Just come on. Quit killing the lambs. You can eat them, but you'll quit killing them. Some of us can eat them. Stop it. We're done. Jesus is the sacrifice. He ended it. So there's no more sacrifices. There's no more. But in the Old Testament, it says God is going to create sacrifices for eternity. That was a picture. Jesus is the sacrifice for eternity in the spirit. It pointed to Jesus, the physical pointed to Jesus, and Jesus is the eternal sacrifice forever. That's how it works. That's the reason you could go forever in the Old Testament about sacrificing an animal and get to Jesus and stop it. Well, he said forever. How can you stop it? Because Jesus was the sacrifice and he exists forever. You can't get amen on that. They're not going, whatever happens, and he said, well, you're going to establish Israel, you're going to build the temple, they're going to have sacrifices. I ain't going. I'm not going. Not going. Because one reason I think, oh man, God may come back, and if he does, he's going to come back there. He's not going to be happy. You know, it's not, so it's just understanding of how God works and what he's saying about, and the big thing is what he's saying about us. We are the fulfillment. We are the fulfillment. Want some more? the time of the Holy Spirit. See, we believe in the spiritual realities because the scriptures clearly reveal them. You don't sit around, hey, let me just tell you this. I think Jesus was a spiritual reality and we don't have sacrifices. And so, that's cool. And besides, I think it's nasty to kill sheep anyway. And, Peter's mad at me and all this stuff. No, that's not what you do. You do it because God's told you so. So in these verses, he's telling us what is happening. He's telling us how to apply the spiritual aspect of this. So we believe in these spiritual realities because the scripture clearly reveals them. Here's a couple. Look at 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Now remember, he's talking to Jews and Gentiles. They're having a problem reconciling this. Peter was a good Jew. Peter was a good Jew. He had to receive a vision from God to go visit a Gentile. He said, I ain't going to those people dirty. He had to receive a vision to go see a Gentile. See, there was an issue here. There was an issue here. But look at 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, Jesus Christ, the living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as in a spiritual house. And you will be a holy priesthood. What happened to the Old Testament priesthood? We're it. He goes, I made one. I got a bunch of them. Okay? See, it's a holy priesthood. You're being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And where are the sacrifices? Where are all those dead sheep? Cutting those sheep, just little bitty lambs, cutting their throats. All right? And it says, you will be a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Don't kill any more sheep unless you're hungry. Don't kill any more sheep. Now, 1 Peter 2, 9-10. But you are the chosen race. Now, how many times have you heard, that the Jews are the chosen race? They are the chosen race. Right here, it says, we are the chosen race. But you are, Church of God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What about the nation of Israel? We are the holy nation. a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're just here to praise Jesus and tell people how wonderful it is. See, we are the holy nation. It's us. 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. It's us. It's us. God said, I'm going to save the world. And it's us. It's us. Now, all that, I want to summarize it. Summarize. Okay, here we are. We're moving. Well, how do we function? What's going on around us? And Lord, what are you doing? Here's just a few verses to kind of summarize it. How we kind of talk about our situation and how we function in our situation. I mean, I could get a hand raised. How many held their raised hand? Don't do this. Your life is just going perfect right now. Had problem one, walking in the kingdom. Jesus loves me. You know, just doing good. Just doing good. Not one issue. Sleeping good. I just took a fifth of whiskey, but I slept good. Anyway. But there will be a physical kingdom and our eradication of evil. There will be a physical kingdom and eradication of evil. Jesus is going to come and do that. Okay, he's going to do that. But now in the time of the spiritual, but now in the time of the Holy Spirit, it's not like that. It's not like that. God has put us in here to claim territory. He's put us in here to claim spiritual territory. That's why we're here. Because he hasn't eradicated evil. He's put us here to claim territory. For him. And here's some verses to explain how this functions. 1 John 5:19. This should explain a lot right here. 1 John 5:19. All right. We know we are from God. We know because we've trusted you. We know we are from God. And the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Conflict. We know we are from God. Praise Jesus. And the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And he is not happy with us. And the Bible says he came to kill and destroy. Who? Us. Us. We are the burr under his saddle. We are his irritation. All right? Because we are going against the flow. The world is under the power of the... Why is all this happening? Because the world is under the power of the evil one. That's why it's happening. That's what is always going to happen when the evil one reigns. We're under the power of the evil one. God, what is God going to do about that? God, what are you going to do? Plan A. I'm going to send you. I'm sending you. How many of you think that's a good idea? How many of you say, God, way to go. Way to go. You chose me. I'll go there. Then we had a conference. I love this conference. It had this picture and said that picture Satan is a ravenous wolf destroying. And it pictures the church of sheep. You know? And there's the picture. This ravenous wolf killing the sheep. You know, and you think, well, gosh, that. And then someone stood up and says, the only difference is the sheep have a shepherd. The sheep have a shepherd. So what to do is sheep get real close to the shepherd and he crack them off the wolves. He keeps the wolves away. You stay close to Jesus. And Jesus says, you're my people and I'm taking you into this world. And this world is bad. It's not going to get good for you. You're going to move into it. You're invading into this world. It is going to be hell and war till I come back and you're going to intervene and bring people to me. You're filling my kingdom. You're filling my kingdom with people. So that's why we have an understanding of the situation we're in. Okay? And Jesus said it. Paul said it. The whole world's under control of the power of the evil one. Now, how do we function? And here, just grab this one verse. How do we function? The world is under the power of the evil one. And here we step out. And this is how Jesus gave us an example of how to take territory. Jesus gave an example of how to take territory. One place here, Matthew 12:28. There's other places I can point to. And it says this, but if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's talking about these people. He says, if I come out and I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is what Jesus meant. If I walk over here in this mess, in my presence, and I take spiritual authority, the kingdom's come. So how does the kingdom come? We show up. We show up. The kingdom comes. Now, but Jesus is everywhere. I know, but there ain't nobody paying attention to you. He said the whole world's under the control of the evil one. And for him to make an impact, he brings his people in. He doesn't do it without his people. So he brings his people in. And when we step in, we bring the kingdom with us. We share the gospel and we spread the kingdom. It's our presence that brings the kingdom into this evil world. And 1 Corinthians 4:20, I love to teach. I love to teach. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. All right? Power. You know, talk can give some direction, but it's power. It's in you stepping in and bringing it. It is the power, not the talk. It's not the talk. The kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but power. What happened in Acts 2? What happened in Acts 2? Holy Spirit came on everybody. On everybody. Even the women. Even the women. All right? So the women, you step out, you bring in the kingdom too. See, you bring the kingdom too. Made a point. All those Jewish men are going, man, the women, you wouldn't believe it. See? The Holy Spirit came. That's considered a talk, but a power. Now, how does it work? How does this invasion, we bring the kingdom when we step in? We got to know who we are. We are the apple of God's eye. We are God's loved ones. We are God's chosen. We are the fulfillment. We are plan A and there is no plan B. We are it. That's our mindset. That's what God says about us. Now, how does the kingdom grow? I love this one. Colossians 1:13. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Okay? I've done this before, but here we are. We're standing, both feet on the ground, and it says God has delivered us from the domain of darkness. We're in the domain of darkness. God, the evil one's controlling the whole world, and we're in the domain of darkness, both feet right here. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred to his kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. We trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we go from darkness to light. What happened to my feet when I was in darkness? What happened to my feet when I received Christ? Then it moved, but it went from darkness to light because of my heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you share and people accept Christ, they become light, and the kingdom spreads. The kingdom spreads. See, that Satan had a great tool, and he came up on Jerusalem, and all the disciples, man, they were having a hootin' good time in Jerusalem. I mean, they're celebrating Jesus. Holy Spirit's coming, gifts are flowing, people getting healed, and man, they're loving it. And they're just selling stuff, eating every the food, and hanging out, and loving it in Jerusalem. They're just loving it. Satan says, I get these folks. Brings in persecution. Watch not kill Stephen. So they looked at Stephen, and his face glowed like an angel. And they said, well, God definitely got to kill him. They killed him. See, they killed, and huge persecution. And it says the church just flooded out of Jerusalem. And it says the word of God spread rapidly. Satan's going, shucks, man, that didn't work. Because he released all these. Man, I had them all in one spot, you know? And they've just been happy with each other. Now they left and they're going to everybody. Now they're telling everybody, I got a bigger problem. Now I know what to do. Now I can't keep this thing under wraps. And in 200 years, the entire Roman Empire became a Christian nation. Satan kicked them out of Jerusalem, and God conquered the Roman Empire. See, isn't that funny how that works? It's like a preaching principle there. Hallelujah. So it's here and it comes down to this. God said, I give you this message. And this message should make a lot more sense here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's that he who knew no sin who was the, who is the seed of Abraham, he who knew no sin, the seed of Abraham, the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about many seeds. I'm talking about one seed, Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin. He became our sin on the cross. That whoever believes in him will become as right as God. I got my people, and they're as right as God. But they're a messed up bunch. They got more hang-ups than some Gentiles. And that's all right. It's all nailed to the cross. All nailed to the cross. They keep nailing these sins to the cross, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're just taking territory, you know. Drop kick these crazy people out of Jerusalem, and they took over the Roman Empire. See? Hallelujah. God's plan A hasn't changed since then. Tied to the end times. I don't know what's going over in Israel. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to watch it. You know, it's interesting. But all it's telling me was you better share Jesus here. Because all that is, if that is God's hand and brought those people back there and established that nation, at most, that is a clock. That is a clock. Get ready. Get ready. Well, you know, he's coming back in 6 months. All right. You know, that just tells me a lot about retirement. You know, and you've heard me say about it. Listen, you know, you retire in heaven. You know, burn it up for Jesus here. Burn it up for Jesus here. You got to have the mindset of how we can carry out God's message and God's power here. Hallelujah. We close it. One, we can stand up and we'll sing a few praises to the Lord.